Hello and welcome to Viper's Voices after the side's second match of the DP World ILT20 against the Gulf Giants at the Dubai International Stadium. And we're reacting to positive news as the Vipers are off the mark for the season with a 6-wicket win with 8 balls to spare against those Giants, the side that beat the Vipers in last year's final. Coming up, we hear from Vipers captain Colin Munro as he gives us his views on the team's performance. That means with just 7 matches gone in the tournament, every side has now won at least one game and lost one game. There's no doubt that the toss played an important part in the Vipers' victory, as Colin Munro won that toss, put the Giants in, and James Vince's side were restricted to 160 for 6, a total that Chris Lynn, their top scorer with 63 from 42 balls, admitted at the end of the innings was maybe 10 runs short of where they wanted to be. Mohammed Amir struck in his first over, and Shaheen Shah Afridi then followed that success up with a first wicket in Vipers colours in his second over, and the Giants were 7 for 2 at that stage and in trouble. They rallied through Lynn and Jordan Cox, who made 32 from 29 balls, but the batting side never got away from the Vipers, and regular wickets at the back end of the innings meant that the target was within bounds. Shaheen showed his value to the team with 3 for 22, while his new ball partner Amir finished with 1 for 27. Wanindu Hasaranga was equally frugal with 1 for 26, while Tamal Mills picked up 1 for 41, and Shadab Khan, bowling with a short leg side boundary to defend, took none for 40. Conditions were tricky against the new ball though, and the chase was far from easy early on. In fact, it wasn't until Wanindu Hasaranga entered at number 4 with the Vipers 41 for 2 after 7 overs that the innings really kicked into gear. Hasaranga made 42 from just 19 balls, including 4 fours and 2 sixes, and that provided real impetus to the pursuit of victory. And although he was dismissed with 63 still needed, the side was seen home by Adam Hose, who made a restrained 39 from 35 balls, batting at number 3, Azam Khan with 26 not out from 14 deliveries, and Shafane Rutherford, who scored an unbeaten 20, also from 14 balls. Shafane was the side's super sub for the match, replacing Tamal Mills. So it's 1 win from 2 matches for the Vipers, who are now next in action on Saturday, January the 27th, against the Abu Dhabi Knight Riders in Abu Dhabi. And if you want to watch any Vipers matches this season, then it couldn't be easier to buy tickets. You can do so via the ILT20 website or at any Virgin Megastore in the UAE. Now then, let's hear from the captain. Skipper, you must be a happy man, a relieved man perhaps, to get off the mark?
Yeah, I think a little bit of relief. Obviously, after the first game didn't go to plan from nearly ball one, I think. I think, you know, the plans that we came up with against the Gulf Giants, who are a well-structured team, paid off today. And I think, you know, the toss played an important role, but I also think that We played really well to these conditions.
I was going to ask you about the toss, actually, because that's 5 games now in 7 in the DP World ILT20, which have been won by the side chasing. Is it a case of win the toss, put the others into bat and win the match? Or is it a little bit more complex than that?
I say yes and no, really. It's just, you obviously got to do whatever skill you do up front really well. When there's a bit of dew and under lights, it does seem to get on a little bit better, and batting becomes a little bit easier. But I think that's just nature of T20 cricket now. Guys like to know what they're chasing, what they can, you know, and then they have their matchups in mind so that they can wait for that matchup and then try and put them under pressure when they come on.
The surface this evening had a lot of grass on it. I know the curator was very keen to get some pace into the surface. The amount of grass that was left on, was that a problem?
No, I don't think so. Obviously, groundsmen know a lot more than me about wickets, but Yeah, I think sometimes on a T20 wicket, that one had a lot more fresh, like live grass on it compared to the wicket that we played on the first game here. So I think the new ball was tough. But then once the new seam wasn't so hard, it got a little bit better to bat on. And you could see it probably, you know, obviously both teams had really good new ball bowlers, and you could see it, the power play was the hardest to bat, I thought, tonight.
You had the Gulf Giants 7 for 2, and then they got away from you a little bit with Chris Lynn, who's been such a nemesis for the Desert Vipers last season as well. He played extremely well. Jordan Cox was there as well. Were you ever a little bit concerned there after the great start that you'd made?
No, not really. I think that's sometimes the nature of, and you know, there's always going to be a partnership somewhere. I thought Lynn was very proactive against our spin and played really well. And Cox just sort of accompanied him really well there through the middle and towards the back end there. So, yeah, I think, you know, there's always going to be a partnership, but I thought we stuck to our plans well. There was a short side that we had to bowl some spin towards the short side. So, you know, you look at Shadab's figures and he's gone for 10 and over, but I thought that was actually well bowled from him today. Obviously, coming back from a lengthy time off the park, I thought, you know, he'll be much better for that performance tonight. So, yeah, I can't fault any of the efforts tonight with the bowlers. I thought the plans that we spoke about, they've executed really well. And, you know, when you've got such experienced bowling lineup, it's just literally just put them in auto drive and go.
Let's talk about Shaheen Shah Afridi, 36 hours off the plane from New Zealand after an international series there. And lo and behold, he's come along and 3 for 22. He didn't really miss a beat, did he? It was an exceptional performance.
Yeah, it was. And to be honest, it's a lot more fun having him on my team than playing against him. Yeah, he's obviously an ultimate professional. You know, like I said in the post-match presentation, I played with him at Notts and he's an ultimate professional. You know, he does everything what he can do for the team. He fields in the hot spots, he bowls the tough overs, he wants to get out there and bat at whatever position the team needs, and yeah, it's just nice to have those guys around.
160 at the halfway stage, would you have taken that?
Yes, I think so. I think that's about par, especially with one short side that we had to try and close down. So 160, especially here at the Dubai Stadium, I think that's about par usually. I think 164 is an average winning sort of score. But, you know, with the dew coming in tonight, I thought that, you know, it probably was about par. But then again, you know, I thought the way that we batted, you know, to finish with an over and a bit to go was outstanding.
Got to ask you about the batting, actually, because Hasaranga was obviously outstanding. He got 42 from 19 balls and he really changed the momentum of the innings. But apart from that, were you entirely happy with the batting approach? It seemed to be a little bit block or bash at the beginning rather than maybe working the ball around. Is that a fair comment?
Oh, well, I was at the top, so I think it was pretty harsh. But no, I thought they bowled really well up front, to be honest. It nipped around, it seamed, and you know Mujeeb can swing the ball with a new one. So I thought they bowled really well up front. You know, it's not every day that myself and Alex Hales go to run a ball or under run a ball. So we have to give credit to them. But I thought to be two down at the 7-over mark was actually quite good for us. And then the way Hasaranga came in and played, I think, you know, don't underestimate what Adam Hose did as well, because yes, it wasn't as fluid, I think, as he would have liked. And, you know, go ball to the wall and strike at 140, 150. But that was a very important innings for the team in the context of the game. And I think he'll take a lot of confidence from that. And then that, you know, when you've got someone doing that, it allows those cameos to come in. And, you know, started with Hasaranga, you know, it's not a cameo, 42 is a bloody good score, so you take that, and then Azam and Rutherford towards the end there just came in and just put a little bit of icing on top.
You've had to jig the batting order around a little bit, haven't you, because Adam Hose had to go up because Dan Lawrence was absent. Now he's gone off to join England. Hasaranga's gone up as well, moving up to number 4. Were they difficult decisions, or were you comfortable with those players changing, and were they comfortable moving positions as well?
To be honest, that's some of the coaching staff, and that's why we're so lucky at the Vipers that we've got, you know, 5 or 6 outstanding coaches that come up with these ideas. I'd love to put my hand up and say, yes, I was going to put Hasaranga up there, and But it was definitely the coaching staff that came up with that plan, and you know, it came off today. It's not always going to come off, but you know, to have him there in bat four, you know, we don't expect our middle order to go out there and get 70s and 80s because that's not the way they play. You know, we want them to come and make an impact in the game, and we've done that today really well. So very pleasing moving forward.
Just talking about Azam Khan, he was the man who put the icing on the cake at the back end, along with Shirfane Rutherford. Exceptional power from Azam, wasn't it? I mean, he really did. If there was any doubt at all at that back end of the match, he took that doubt away, didn't he?
Yeah, I've been fortunate enough to be on Azam's side 3 years now in the PSL, and it's great to have him at the Vipers. You know, last year it didn't quite work out with him getting in OCs and things like that, but yeah, to have him on our side here, he's, I love the way he plays his cricket. He's always happy, he's smiling, he enjoys himself, and yeah, I just think, you know, he's a super talent. You saw him behind the stumps today as well. You know, people obviously see his size, and but he is phenomenal behind the stumps. You know, he made great ground to take that catch as well, early doors. And he's got slick hands and he moves really, really well for a big lad. And, you know, going back to his batting, he's got some serious power. He loves hitting spin out of the ground. And he's got, you know, silky, silky wrists, that's for sure.
I guess we have to talk about the fielding. A couple of catches went down today. It was a problem last season as well in terms of catches going down. Is there any reason for it, do you think?
No, I don't think so. I think the skills that we've been putting in, you know, we try and, well, I'm a big believer in, you know, our effort and enthusiasm in the field. If that's up, the skills will take care of itself. And if we do drop catches along the way, you know, I put my hand up today, I dropped a very good player, and another day he could have gone on and changed the whole momentum of that game. So, yeah, we look at ourselves and you know, we expect us to take those catches. Let's be honest, every catch under lights is not easy, but we are professional. We should be taking those catches. But I think today the level is in the field is that's our minimum. That's where we need to be, and we can get better from that for sure.
Now, obviously, there were a lot of changes today. The three Pakistanis came in, and also Aryan Lakhra came in because obviously Tanish missed out because he wasn't keeping wicket with Azam going behind the stumps. Shaheen, Azam, Shadab coming in too. I mean, some disappointed players, doesn't it? How do you manage that?
Yeah, some very disappointed players. And for me as a captain, you want to see those guys disappointed because it shows that they care and that they actually really want to be playing. It is tough to try and keep them motivated because, you know, those boys are here for, you know, five or six games and before they head off. But again, it takes a squad. You know, I keep saying it takes a squad to win championships. And, you know, you're only as strong as your weakest link. So if your attitude is bad around the group, that's going to filter into the rest of them. So, you know, if you are feeling a bit down, a bit flat, take a day off training, don't come to the group, wait until you've dealt with some of that negativity and bring a positive attitude to the group. That's all I can ask. I've been on the sidelines for a long time as well, you know, carrying drinks in different tournaments and things like that. So I know where the boys are, how they're feeling, you know, and just try and be as open as I can with them around the consistency and as in selection. And, you know, it's tough. That's the hardest part that I don't like about, you know, captaincy is telling the guys the bad news that they're not going to be playing and things. So that's the hardest part. But, you know, it's helping me grow as a person and as a player as well.
Now, psychologically, how important was that win this evening? The Gulf Giants beat the Vipers three times out of four last season. So to get a win on the board against them in the first game you come up against them in season two, that must feel nice.
Yeah, it is. It's you know, obviously you would be sitting down, well, at the bottom of the table, 0-2. But, you know, 1-2 is a lot better. It's better viewing for us and our fans. And, yeah, I think the Gulf Giants are a really well-oiled machine that they, you know, they've kept their same core together as well from last year as they should because they, you know, they went on and won it. Couple of changes here and there, but you know, they're well structured and they well captained by Vince and coached by Andy Flower. So, you know, we'll take this win and move on to the next one.
And how about the fact that here we are, seven games into this tournament, and lo and behold, There's no side that's avoided defeat thus far. Does that say to you that all the sides are very close together?
Yeah, 100%. All the teams have recruited really well. They've got some world-class players throughout their lists. And, you know, that's what makes, I suppose, this year even better than last year, is that there's quality down the list of every single team, and anyone can beat anyone on their day. And that's exciting for the league and exciting for us as players, that, you know, every game you need to be up and be at your best to win games of cricket.
A couple of days break and then it really gets serious. I think 6 games in 9 days. How are you viewing these next couple of days? Is it a case of everyone get as much rest as you can because of that really intense schedule, or is there going to be a decent amount of practice leading into the back-to-back matches on Saturday and Sunday?
Well, I think it all comes down to individual. I think that's, bring it back to the coaching staff, where we're so lucky that they've been around franchise cricket for so long. They know what players need in franchise cricket, and you know, we've had a really good week build up. We've done the hard work. We've trained. Now it's just about planning and preparing for each game. And if we can do that well, you know, going to one or two trainings beforehand is not really going to change your skill set too much, is it? So, you know, what we've done, we have to trust it. Go out there, play the game in front of us, adapt to the conditions, because we're going to be at different grounds now for the next 2 games, and you know, if we can adapt quickly, then that puts us in a good position.
Desert Vipers captain Colin Munro, a happy man after the victory over the Gulf Giants. And that's it for another episode of Vipers Voices. There's a couple of days now until the Vipers' third match of the campaign against the Abu Dhabi Knight Riders at the Zayed Cricket Stadium in Abu Dhabi. That's on Saturday, the 27th of January. Tickets are available for that match and every one that the Vipers will play via the ILT20 website and also at Virgin Megastores throughout the UAE. We'll be back with build-up to that match and plenty more besides here on Vipers Voices. And you can also stay in touch with all things Desert Vipers via the team's website, thedesertvipers.com, and all the major social media channels. You can also watch reaction from the Vipers camp after every match too, with Vipers Voices vodcast on the website or the Vipers YouTube channel. For the time being then, this is Brian Murgatroyd saying, as ever, thanks so much for listening.